God's mercy and peace be upon us this morning as we hear his word, as we reflect on that word, as we are nourished by that word and sustained by that word, as we live in this world, walking on the path of life with the Lord as our companion and our strength. Today's word of the Lord comes from the Old Testament lesson that you've heard before from Isaiah, and I want to repeat a few verses. Here Isaiah writes, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise." May God bless us this morning as we hear his word and as we reflect on his word. I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about the things of your life. I want you to think about who you are and whose you are. Isaiah the prophet in the 43rd chapter says, "Behold, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." The apostle Paul echoes those words in the 14th chapter when he says, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So as we belong to the Lord, I want you to think about how God makes new things in your life and how this pauses us in the Lenten service or the Lenten weeks as we think about the passion of Christ and as we think about his walk to the cross. This is totally different to hear something good and gracious and something that's not gloom and doom and all those things. But what God does, he says, "Do not remember the past, but look at the future. Do you not perceive it? I will bring good things." And he talks about bringing good things in the deserts, in the wilderness. A geyser in the wilderness that explodes. We know about a geyser. I've never been there. And as I was reflecting on this, I thought, you know, we should go there sometime. Yellowstone National Park, Old Faithful. Why is it called Old Faithful? Where in the 60s, it would erupt every 64 minutes. But as it continued on, the length of that geyser between eruptions has kind of grown between 80 and 90 minutes, but it still erupts. It still shows us its name of the Old Faithful. I want you to think about that, but I want you to think about how God is faithful to you. He's faithful to you because he has brought you to faith in the Christ, in Jesus. And as he brought you to faith in Christ, he tells you that you are his child. He informs you that he will be with you no matter what. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what trial, tribulation, or temptation you face, he will be with you. He will walk with you because he has a plan for you. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he says, "I have plans for you, not plans to harm you, but plans to give you a future and a hope." So God has plans for each and every one of us. Plans to give him praise and honor and glory as we live as new people in Jesus. So the Apostle Paul, last week we had that in the epistle. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You are new children of God. He is perceiving that. He is blessing you. He is blessing you with his presence, blessing you with his word, blessing you with his power in the Holy Spirit, so that you can be those new creations, of his. We know about this world. We know about the things of the world. We know about how much pressure we're living under to conform to this world. Satan is working. Satan is in this world. He's in the people of this world who are trying to take us away from Jesus. Satan's got a big job ahead of him for some people. For some people, it's really no work at all. He's got them in his pocket. He's using us as junk food. You know what junk food is? Chips and those kinds of things that pile the weight on and don't really last that long. Well, Satan is using us as junk food. He's eating us up and then spitting us out. He doesn't want to have anything to do with us after he's won us. It's taken us away from God. But here the prophet Isaiah talks about what God is going to do in this new thing. He's going to take you away from Satan because he has already done it in Jesus Christ. In the first chapter of Peter's first epistle, he says, you've not been redeemed by gold or silver, but you've been redeemed and you have been bought back from Satan, from the devil, in Christ. His suffering, his death, and his glorious resurrection. So that you are new people, that you are redeemed, and you are given power by the Holy Spirit, so that you would be this new geyser in the world, because we are living in this world. And what's really something, we're living by the grace of God. You know, when you read obituaries, you come to the part at the bottom of the obituary, and it says, the survivors, I don't like that term. And I had a pastor friend who said, you know, if I could change how they write obituaries and publish them, I would say in that part, those who are living in God's grace of time. And ever since he mentioned that to me, I've been using that when I read obituaries. When I tell people, those who are living in God's grace of time, because that's who we are. We're living in God's grace of time. We're living as those who are bought back from Satan, but given the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're living in his time. We know that we're going to die. We know that by faith in Christ, we're going to live again in heaven. We don't know when God's going to call us home. We don't know the time, the day, the hour, whatever. And Jesus has told his disciples that as well. He tells us that. And he tells us that Jesus himself does not know the time when he will come again, but he will come again. So we're living in his grace of time. And as we live in his grace of time, we are his servants. Jesus gave us the example of servitude. In the upper room, where they were seated and had their meal before Jesus was betrayed and faced death on the cross, he got up from the table. He took the towel around his waist. And he took the bowl of water and he started to wash the feet of his disciples, bending down in an act of service, and told the disciples there that he is doing that as part of his service. And so God gives us the power and the strength to be a geyser in this world. This world that is being torn apart as we can see over the last few months, as we can see yesterday, that there was protests all over the United States about how things are not going right or not going according to their plan. There's protests. The world is being torn apart. Not just the United States, but all around the world. Is it the time that Christ is going to come again? We don't know. Maybe this is God's plan. Maybe it's his plan to show us who is in control. That we're not in control of this world. That he is in control. And that's what the mighty gospel tells us. That God is in control because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. To face that loneliness on the cross. To face the death and the loneliness of the tomb. To tell us that we are his child, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ, giving us strength in Jesus and to lay our lives on that solid rock, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this interesting little illustration, this little story that I found, and it's kind of ironic the date that this started, but on March 17th, 1930, they started in New York City to build the tallest structure. You know what that was? The Empire State Building, 1930. Fast forward to 1945, July of 1945, and the B-52 bomber was off course. And the pilot couldn't see because it was foggy. He slammed into the Empire State Building. That was 1,250 feet high. It did some damage to that, some extensive damage to the floor that it hit. And 14 people died, unfortunately. But the structure of the Empire State Building did not crumble like the two structures, the two towers of the International or the World Trade Center in 2001. So the Empire State Building was 1,250 feet high. It had 10 million bricks. And it had 10 tons of steel to make it immovable. I want you to think about that and think about the solid rock that Jesus, that we lay our lives on Jesus. He's immovable. He's not built with, he's not built 1,250 feet in the sky, and he's not built with 10 tons of steel, and he's not built with 10 million bricks, but he is there, and we lay our lives on the solid rock that will not despise us, will not forsake us, will not leave us. So as we think about being a geyser in the wilderness that explodes with joy, that explodes with faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he uses us as one of his instruments here in the world to turn others to Jesus. In Jesus Christ's holy and gracious name, amen.